bringing us into your house this morning. Thank you for Sundays. And Lord, the best day of the week, your day. And we thank you for us setting it aside for us to have the opportunity to worship, opportunity to rest, opportunity to spend time with our families. And God, it's a special day. And I thank you for those that have chosen to be in your house this morning. Thank you for the guests, the visitors that you have brought us. Thank you for each child in the back that's being taught and those classes and teachers back there. And we thank you, Lord God, for the rain this week. We are blessed coming and going, Father. You've been so good to us. But your goodness is expressed in the greatest way by giving your Son Jesus, Lord, that we can be saved. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll teach us more about ourselves and more about you this morning as we open up the Word of God, and help us to realize, Lord, that you have big things for us. You have good things for us. Lord, we know that life is full of heartaches, lots of difficulties, lots of trials for all of us. But Father, show us how we can rise above those things and overcome and get the victory. We ask your blessings now. Your Holy Spirit have his way, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm asking you to go ahead and go to John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and I think we would all agree this morning when I say everybody wants to count in life. Whether we realize it or not, we want to count. We want to be we want to be significant. And an athlete trains and practices so he or she can be more than just an average athlete, but they want to be a winning athlete. Many young people study in school to be the kind of students that will make B's and A's, or maybe be valedictorian and maybe even get scholarships because they want to be an above average student. Many musicians want to be more than just have the ability to play well and within the confines of their home, but they have aspirations to someday play in front of a crowd, because we all want to have some sort of significance. We want to feel like we've done something. We really want others to know our name. We want to count. We want to make our mark on the world. We want to make a difference. We want to feel like at least we've made a difference. But one of the problems is so often we let obstacles keep us from doing things in life that will make a difference. Sometimes we look at the task at hand and we get intimidated by it, and so we don't try. Sometimes we try, but then when it gets hard, it gets very difficult, we give up. We just settle for where we are. We throw in the towel. Sometimes we simply don't have the confidence that we need to accomplish certain things, and so we never endeavor to do those things. And if we go along and we let these obstacles get in our path and we let them keep us from making a difference, then we're never really going to enter the race, so to speak. We're never even going to get on the track. There are many things that will stop us from doing what God wants us to do. And so I'm here to tell you something for each and every person here this morning. Every single person, no matter what your situation is or where you're from, what your name is, God has something for you to do. God has something good for you, something fulfilling, something significant. Again, not meaning that you're going to make the headlines, not meaning that you're going to have your name in the paper, and nothing like that, but just something that God wants to use you in your situation, in your environment, your family, your workplace, your classroom, what your circle of friends, wherever you may be. He has good things for you. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, he says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." You know, God's saying, I don't have bad things for you at all. I have good things for you. He said, Jesus said in John 10:10, "I come to give you life and life more abundantly." He's saying, "I've come to give you a good life." God has a victory for each and every person in this room. And folks, I'm not a motivational speaker. That's not what my desire is today. I'm not trying to give you the power of positive thinking, or I'm not saying you can go out into the world and name it and claim it and your dreams will come true. I'm just simply want every person from any and every walk of life to see that you can make a difference in the world around you. And you are significant in God's eyes. I don't care who you are. You are significant in God's eyes. Now, I want to say something. It's important before I go further, and I really struggled with this since I put this message together, whether to even say this, because I don't want to be taken wrong, but I'm going to say it because I felt like God just gave me the go-ahead. It's easy. So I'm your pastor. I've been here up here for 20 years now. Some of you have been here a long time. Some of you are new. What you see in many cases is you don't see the whole picture, okay, of my life and where I am and where I came from. And so it's real easy for someone to look at me, perhaps, and think, well, that's easy for you to say that you can make a difference because, you know, things are stacked in your favor. You have a charmed life. Everything goes your way. You have confidence, and you've got to jump on things, and the deck is stacked in your favor. And, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Nothing could be further from the truth. Nothing. You say, well, oh, you've got what it takes to succeed. No, I'm telling you, folks, I want to tell you the truth of the matter. And please hear me out and listen to me. Yes, I mean, I've been blessed as all of us have been blessed. But before I met Jesus in my early 20s, and I let him teach me after I was saved, let him teach me that I was significant, to teach me that I could make a difference in the world around me and that I could count for something. Before then, folks, I had never had any, not 1 ounce of confidence, not an ounce, not any kind of victory in my life, not any kind of success at anything. I had simply not experienced that. In fact, quite the contrary, I felt like, as a young person, I was born to lose. I expected everything to be negative because that's all I'd ever seen. I thought the cards were stacked against me. I thought that it was life was not in my favor. And I spent my young life thinking that this is all I'll ever be. Just an old busted kid from the country that has no ideal of family except dysfunction, has no ideal of life going well, has no ideal of any kind of success. My grades in school were mostly failing, C's and D's at best. I was never more than an average athlete, in spite of probably being more capable than I had shown. I stayed in trouble in high school. I had been in jail 3 times before I was 20. I had defaulted on 2 loans at the bank before I was 19, had 1 pickup repossessed. I was known around town as just another stinking crazy cowboy who wanted to come into town at night and shoot up the town. That's what I was known for. My marriage, the first 2 years of it, was a disaster. And in a nutshell, I was a failure. In a nutshell, I had nothing going my way. But I got saved. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ and gave my heart to Him. And folks, let me tell you this. Salvation is not a magic wand that everything in life suddenly is perfect and everything goes well. My salvation was instantaneous. I was forgiven the moment I called upon Jesus. But the rest of it was a process. A process of God taking a mess with lots of baggage and shaping it and molding it into something that's better. And folks, it's not nearly where it needs to be, but something that was better than what it used to be. And I had to learn that I was important. I had to learn that I was significant. And that God loved me in spite of whether anybody else loved me or not. And I had to learn that I counted for something. And I had to learn that I could accomplish something. I could succeed. I could have victories in my life. And I'm telling you, folks, I never expected anything good to happen with my life. I just didn't expect it because I had never seen it. I had to learn to take steps. Steps that would put me in the winner's bracket, so to speak, instead of the loser's bracket. And so I want to get right to our text before I go any further. He's in John chapter 6, and And we're going to begin in verse 2. It says, and a great multitude followed Jesus, Jesus, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. Let's skip those two next two verses because they're not relevant to the subject. Verse 5. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these many may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for every one of them may take a little. And one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there's a lad here, there's a little boy, which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they? I mean, this is so little, he's saying. What are they against so many? And Jesus says, make the men sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place. So they all sat down in the grass, it tells us. And the men sat down, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remain over and above them that had eaten. And then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. You see, Jesus and his disciples were faced with a tremendous challenge. There was a huge crowd of people in need of a meal. It would have been what would have been a very intimidating situation that could make any person look at the enormity of it and say, oh, well, this can't be done. And folks, they could have easily said, well, we've got to go home. We can't do anything. And that's exactly what we Christians often do. We say, well, this can't be fixed, so we don't try. I'm not even going, it's too big. I'm not even going to make an effort. And because of that, we never see the breakthroughs that Jesus wants us to see. We never see the miracles that Jesus wants us to experience. And we don't see the victories that we could have had. So we just basically stay where we've always been because we said, it's too big. That's not at all what God wants for us. We see in this text that God can do bigger things. He can do anything he wants with anything he has. And he wants to get us in a position in our lives that we stop looking at our own limitations, we quit looking at what we cannot do, and we get a supernatural view of things. And instead of saying, I can't, we say, God can. God can do what he wants. God can do something with this situation. I see the enormity of it. It's big. Don't know how it's going to work it out, but God can do something about this. And we sometimes forget that who we're serving is the same God that fed these 5,000 plus here. And I say 5,000 plus because it only mentions the men. It doesn't say anything about the women and children that were there. There's likely 10,000 collectively. But because we're often blinded by our own insecurities and blinded by our own lack of confidence, sometimes we won't try. There happened to be a little boy in this group. He was in the crowd, and he saw past his own limitations. He was just a young fella, and he saw past what he could do, and he took what he had, and he acted in such a way that it changed the whole situations. He had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, what would seem to be not very much, what would seem to be very insignificant. But whatever it was, he says, this is what I've got, and I'm going to surrender it. And the result of that was one of the greatest miracles that the Bible records. And folks, not only were the needs met that day, it wasn't just that Jesus took that little bit and just gave just a small rations to get the people by. It says that they were filled. It says in verse 12, they were filled, and then when they got through, there were baskets full left. Every person had what they wanted. Something big happened that day. And why did something big happen? Because one little boy made a choice to say, well, I'll try. I'll give what I've got. You know, Jesus could have done anything he wanted. He could have made the food fall out of the sky. He could have said, be full, and they could have been full. He could do anything he wants. But he wants to use his children. He wants us to be involved with his kingdom. He wants us to do something. So that little boy did something that day. And so because of that, he's going to go down in history as somebody in the Bible that made a difference. So how do we get started? I don't want to leave you this morning without some tools. How do we get started? The first thing we got to do is be in the right place at the right time. Out of all of those thousands of people in that crowd, just when the disciples were desperate for a solution, this little boy appears and he gets to be used by God in a way we all would love to be used. How do you get in the right place at the right time? That's a big question. How do we get where God wants us to be, where he can use us? I'm telling you, it's based on our decisions. Our decisions put us where we're going to be. You see, you made a decision to be in church this morning. That was a good decision. Hopefully, you'll make a decision to be responsible and be in your jobs tomorrow. That's a good decision. Hopefully these kids made a good decision last night to not be amongst drinking or partying somewhere. I hope they made a good decision. Many of you made a decision to be in our choir and use what God's given you and your voice to glorify God. You made a decision. Those are right decisions. Our decisions place us where we are. So how do we make the right decisions? How do we know what decisions to make? Well, we do what this young boy did. Why was he there that day? He didn't just saunter around wandering through the wilderness and finally just stumble onto Jesus. He followed Jesus out there. He was out there for a purpose. He had followed Jesus. And following Jesus that day put him on the right path. You know, it's amazing. It's going to shock you. But I have not been in jail one time since I've been saved. Yeah? You know what? Your decisions put you in the right place. I've not been in one fist fight. Come close a time or two. But your decisions put you in the right place. I haven't woke up one time hungover with my head stuck to my pillow. Because your decisions put you in the right place. Following Jesus puts us on the right path. After this young man, this boy, followed Jesus, what else did he do? Well, because he followed Jesus, he got to hear his word. He was in a position. That's what Jesus did. When the crowds came together, he taught people. And so this young man, while following Jesus close enough, got to hear his voice. And he got, as he heard the word of God, that helped him make the right decision. Folks, when we get in, we follow Jesus and we listen to his word, our decisions begin to improve considerably. And when our decisions improve, then our situation improves. Our location improves. Our setting, our atmosphere, our families, our relationships improve. Our behavior improves. Our attitude improves. Our mouth improves. And believe me, let me just say this. We do have control of how we use our mouth. You know, I went to jail two times because I wouldn't shut my mouth. Had the right to remain silent. I did not have the ability to remain silent. Oh, actually, I did have the ability. I wasn't willing. You see, we have control of our mouth. When we follow Jesus and we hear his word, even our mouth gets better. Our friendships, our relationships, our finances, our goals, our priorities, all of these things, our life gets better when we follow Jesus and let his word guide us. Right decisions put us in the right place at the right time. Have you ever listened to someone that has gotten in trouble say this statement? Well, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. No. No, your decisions. You might have been in the wrong place, but your decisions put you in the wrong place. You see, our decisions put us where we're going to be. So right decisions will get us in the right place. And then the second reason this boy was used of God and experienced such a great victory that day is because he gave what he had. He was in the right place at the right time, had the right instruction from Jesus. He just had 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. Didn't seem like much, but he says, I'm just gonna give it all. I'm gonna give what I've got. Not much, but I'm gonna give what I've got. And folks, that probably didn't, in his mind, thinking at this vast crowd, he probably thought, well, I can't measure against this crowd. I can just give what I've got. That's all I can do. The rest is up to Jesus. And you know what? Jesus doesn't, he's not counting what we have. He knows what size of whatever it is we have to offer. He understands that. He just wants us to offer it. He just wants us to give it. It's up to him to decide how it's going to be used. I don't care who you are. Nobody has zero to offer. Nobody. There's not a person on this planet that just has zero to offer. You might not have great riches. You might not have a tremendous amount of talent. You might not have great skill to offer. But we're not to measure ourselves against those around us. You have something to offer. And you know what? There's something that you need to make note of. You have time. Every person has time. In fact, we're on level ground on that. Everybody has 24 hours in a day. You have 60 minutes in those hours, and you have 60 seconds in each of those minutes. We're all on even ground there. I don't have more time than you do. You don't have more time than I do. We all make a choice how we spend our time. We can, if nothing else, if that's all we have to offer, we can offer our time to the Lord. There are people that have a good voice, but they won't sing for the Lord. There are people who have a sizable circle of influence, but they won't take advantage of that and invite people to church or tell them about Jesus. There are people that have opportunity to do things for the kingdom of God, but they just choose not to do it. They know they have opportunity. They just choose not to do that. And that, my friends, will keep us from experiencing what God wants us to experience it. And we make excuses. Oh, well, I can't, or I don't have, or what if such and such, or what if so and so, or what if this and that. Did you ever hear anybody say, shut up and drive? Well, I say, shut up and give. God will work out the what's and the ifs and the such's and the so's. That's his job. What he wants us to do is give. It's his job to do the multiplying. Our job is just to add to the solution and say, here's what I've got. I'm adding, God. You multiply. And he will, just as he did that day. He will take whatever it is we've had to offer. He's going to bless it, and he's going to multiply it in some way. That's his job. That young man experienced the power of God in his life that day because he followed Jesus. Because he listened to his word and he gave what he had. Now let me ask you this, out of those three things. He followed Jesus. He listened to his word. He gave what he had. Out of those three things, what's missing in your life? Maybe nothing. Maybe you do all those things, and praise God if that's the case. But what's missing? Is there something? Is one of those part of that equation? Maybe you are saved. You follow Jesus. Okay, that's there. Check that one off. But you don't listen to his word. Well, you're not even going to get out of the starting blocks. Because his word is what puts us on the right path. Maybe you say, well, I follow Jesus. I'm born again. I know I'm a Christian. And I read God's word and I try to follow his word. But maybe you're just one of those people that says, there's enough out there. I'm not going to give up myself. I'm not going to give any more time. Maybe you're one of those people that says, I'll tell God what he needs and what he doesn't need. Boy, that's a bad position to be in. Because God says, I just want you to give what you have to offer. And you know what? He gave it to us to start with. It's up to him to give us what we have. It is. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 8:18 that he giveth us the power to get wealth. I don't care what your job pays or what position you're in. God gave you the power to have that job. Amen. We have to choose Jesus, first step. to be our Lord and Savior. You can't bypass that, folks. If you try to bypass accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to be like a mailman that loads up one day and doesn't stop by the post office and pick up the mail. He just drives the neighborhood, stirring up the dogs and wasting time because he doesn't have any mail to deliver. That's what it's like to try to serve the Lord without truly knowing Jesus. You've got to first be born again. Secondly, the second step, as this young man did, you have to learn, you have to what his word says, and you have to apply it to your life. The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God will direct your steps. He will put you on the right path. And he'll get you in the right place at the right time. And then what's the next step? Then you've got to be willing to give of whatever it is you have to offer. And when a pastor says give, everybody just automatically thinks, well, he's asking for money. That's not at all what I'm saying. Money's a very much a part of our life, but there's so many other things. You have talent. You have influence. You have time. You have gifts and abilities. You, if in the very least, can pray. Of course, there's so much more that we can do. And when we do these things, we get in the right place, and that God lets us make a difference. Our finances begin to change. Our family begins to change. Our job, our relationships, our life begins to change. And let me just say that when I first accepted Jesus, I was in the starting blocks. I was finally in the race, okay? But there were still a lot of things that I hung on to that I just kind of tinkered around with and just wouldn't let God have all of it, okay? I just kind of gave him what I thought he should have, as we spoke of a moment ago. And you know what? I didn't receive any kind of breakthroughs in those areas as long as I had that attitude. Things like my goals and my finances and my priorities and the desires for my life, I just kind of wanted to keep them. God, I've got church and Bible and all of that right here, but I want to kind of keep those areas to myself because I want to do that part my way. Never had any breakthroughs as long as I did that. I had to learn what this young boy had to learn. He had it figured out. He says, I'll just give what I've got. I'll just give what I've got. And then God does the multiplying. If you're within the sound of my voice, if you're young, old, black, white, brown, whatever your situation is, you have no limitations when it comes to God. You might say, oh, Brother Chris, I'm in a wheelchair. That doesn't limit God. So, oh, Brother Chris, I'm well up in my 90s. I what can I do? That doesn't limit God at all. Say, well, I'm just a sixth grader at school and nobody knows my name. What can I possibly do? I don't think anybody knew that boy's name as far as I can tell. You just offer what you have. You say, Brother Chris, nothing works for me. You say, Brother Chris, life doesn't go my way. I take one step forward and two steps back. I have lots of luck, but it's all bad. You say, Brother Chris, everything goes wrong for me. I don't understand. Well, let me just tell you this. I do understand what you're saying because that's where I came from. I know what that feels like. But I can promise you that's not what God has for you. Follow him close enough to hear his word. And then you take whatever it is, no matter how small it is, and you put it at his disposal, and your luck's going to change. And it's not based on luck. That's just a term we use. Your life is going to change because God will take what you've done and he will turn it into something that is good, and he'll do a work in your life. When I did that, when I learned to do that, it all changed. It all changed for me. And again, it's not a magic wand, and don't even begin to think that my life is totally on track and perfect, because far from it. But it's a far sight better than it was. And at least it's heading in the right direction. What he did for that little boy in this story He will do for you. Now I'm going to ask Brother David and Miss Linda and Martha to come. Here's the equation one more time. Follow Jesus. That means being born again, being saved. Get close enough to Him to hear His word. Know what He wants for your life because you've heard His word. And then give what you have.